God is willing to get his hands dirty in our life. God isn't such that he's just out there somewhere. He's intricately and intimately involved. Did you hear what I'm saying? God is the potter and we are the clay. Behind the scenes, at work, getting muddy, focused on you and me. That's hope. Hi, I'm Father Cedric Bazania, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. This program is about hope. I call it Dare to Hope. And when you hope for something good in your future, when you hope that God is at work in your life, it opens a door for God to work in your life. And I want God working in your life in powerful ways. Let me share with you this scripture. It comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from God. Go down to the potter's house. There you will hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and he was working at the wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do this with you, O house of Israel? Just as the potter has done, says the Lord. For as the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. I remember leading a pilgrimage to Rome, and I had about 30 people with me. And one of the places that we went is called the catacombs. Catacombs, of course, are those underground tunnels beneath the city of Rome, where in the early Christianity, the early days of Christianity, probably around the year 200, 300, the believers in Christ used to actually hide out down in those tunnels, and they used to worship God in those tunnels because the city-state of Rome was persecuting them. So we went down into the catacomb. It was dark and damp and deep. And we were down there, we celebrated Mass, and then I saw on the wall one of the earliest Christian symbols. And it was that of an anchor with a little cross on the top. It was etched right into the wall. It comes from Hebrews chapter 6 that says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. You know what an anchor is? An anchor is something that a boat has. When the storm comes, they will drop anchor. And that anchor will hold the ship, the boat, fast when the storm is raging so that the boat will not sink or be moved. In the same way, our hope in eternal life, and this is why they had that etched into the wall, the early Christians, our hope in eternal life that we have a glorious future ahead of us can anchor us, fortify us, strengthen us when the storms of life hit us, when our boat is being rocked. So I want you to know that hope is one of the three things that lasts forever: faith, hope, and love, the Bible tells us. And in fact, it's not just hope that we have a living hope that comes right from 1 Peter. So hope fortifies us and strengthens us. So when the journey is getting hard, when there's all kinds of trials and tribulations, when we can't see the road ahead of us, we can be anchored and strong and fortified by hope, our hope in the glorious future in heaven that we all have. But also, hope is for right now, not just for the hereafter, but for the here and now. I like to tell the story of an Austrian psychologist. His name is Viktor Frankl. Maybe you've heard of him. If you ever want to read a good book, it was really influential in my life, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. He was an Austrian psychologist. He got captured by the Nazis in Nazi Germany, and he was put into a prison camp. I believe it was Auschwitz. So Viktor Frankl was a psychologist, so he observed what happened in the prison camp. And he noticed that basically there were two types of people. In the most desperate of all situations, when they were deprived of food and warmth and family, because they were all taken away and many of them were going to be killed, in the most desperate situation, he determined that hope was the dividing factor. People that lost hope gave up, and they would let their bodies go down to nothing, or they'd throw themselves into the electric fence. But people that had hope survived, and Viktor Frankl was one of them. And this is what he did. He hoped, in the midst of that awful situation, he kept clinging to the memory of his wife and believing that one day they would have a reunion. And that hope anchored him, kept him strong, fortified him in the worst of situations. He has a saying, you can deal with any what if you have a why. You can deal with any hard situation if you have hope. And the why that we're talking about is believing that something good is in your future. If you lose hope, you will end up in depression. But if you have hope, you will have passion. And I want you to hope because, as I said at the beginning of the program, hope opens up a door for God to work in your life. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. You don't feel the hands. But trust me, he's working. I remember one time I went to Mexico. And when I was in Mexico, I went to a pottery store. And I was looking at the jars and the jugs and the cups and the dishes and the plates. And as I was looking, I noticed behind the curtain, I saw a man back there with a light, and I took a peek behind the curtain, and there behind the scenes was the potter. And you could see he had his hands, and they were all dirty. The wheel was spinning, and the clay was all muddy and wet and dirty, and his hands were all mucky as he was forming the clay into something like a dish or a pot. And I was struck by his focus. He was focused right on his work. Even though I was peeking around and looking, he didn't even notice me. And I was also struck by the fact that it was behind the scenes. Most people didn't even know he was back there. And I was also struck by the fact that his hands were completely dirty in that situation. And then it occurred to me that just like that potter, that's the way God is. First of all, he's behind the scenes. You know, when we're going through things and journeying in our journey of life, doesn't seem like God is working. Sometimes it seems like God is far away. But we have to trust that behind the scenes, even though we don't see it, God is at work. You remember the story of footprints, of course. I like to tell that. This man has a dream, there's two sets of footprints, and then he goes through a hard time, there's only one set of footprints. And he goes to the Lord, he goes later after the dream, he goes, I don't understand it. When things were going well, you were right beside me. When I was going through the hard times, there was only one set of footprints. What was going on? God told him, you've misjudged. When you saw the one set of footprints, that was mine. I was carrying you. So sometimes in the hardest situations of our life, even when it doesn't feel like it, God is carrying us. God's working in our life. The other thing I noticed about the potter, of course, was that he was focused on his work. And that's something that Jesus taught us in the gospel. He said, every hair on your head is counted. In other words, God is intimately and intricately involved in your life. Isn't that beautiful? May not seem like it, don't always feel it, but we have a God who is able to work in our life in intricate, intimate ways, who even knows how many hairs we have on our head. The other thing that I wanted you to get about the potter that we heard from Jeremiah chapter 18, was that I noticed that he didn't mind getting his hands dirty. That's God's MO. If you go back to the book of Genesis, God is playing in the mud. He breathes into the mud and creates a human being. And this is what he's doing now. He's still playing in the mud of our life, and he's recreating us. Even though the mud and the pot was spoiling, God reformed it, he told Jeremiah, and he reshaped it. And that's what he's doing in our life. He's conforming us into the image of Jesus. And even in the muddy areas of our life, the mucky areas, such as addictions, such as unemployment, such as abuse, things that we're all going through in various different ways, the muddy areas, the dirty stuff, God is willing to get his hands dirty in our life. God isn't such that he's just out there somewhere. He's intricately and intimately involved. Did you hear what I'm saying? God is the potter, and we are the clay. Behind the scenes, at work, getting muddy, focused on you and me. That's hope. And I want you to get this. I want you to believe, and that's a close relative of hope, faith, hope, and love, the three that last forever. I want you to believe that God is at work in your life, even if it doesn't feel like it, even if it doesn't seem like it. He so loves you that he'll get his hands dirty in your life. And so I think about my own life, and I've shared this before, but I remember when I was a teenager, it didn't seem like God was working in my life, but I had a breakup with a girl. And I mean, I had this wonderful conversion. Through the messiness of that breakup with the girl and everything that we did together, through that messiness, God's hands were getting dirty in my life, and he was working in my life in a very powerful way. Led me to conversion, led me to a rebirth. Like the phoenix, I rose from the ashes of my life. And it was God the potter working in me. So that's what hope is. I want you to believe that right now, even if you're steeped in an addiction, even if you're angry, if you're bitter, if you're doubting God, I want you to believe that God is so good and so loving and so focused on your life that he is working in your life right now. Believe that. Hope, that's a dare to hope. I dare you, hope, because God is at work. So hope is believing that God is at work, and God certainly is working in our life, but he also works in your family. Well, here's something I want to proclaim to you, because our Holy Father, Pope Francis, in the Catholic Church has really tried to focus on the family and how God is working in family life. Because, you know, we're all very much attuned to a personal relationship with God, but it's also communitarian. And God works in our families. I just read a book called Josiah's Fire. Josiah was a little boy born to parents, grew up, and as he's growing up, he's about 2 years old. And all of a sudden, he had trouble relating to the world. He seemed spaced out, couldn't relate to his parents anymore. So he was diagnosed with autism. The parents were devastated. I mean, here, all of a sudden, they have an autistic child. Autism, if you know anything about it, is when the young person, boy or girl, can't relate to people, and they can't relate to their environment. It's some kind of a social, mental disease. So the parents were devastated, but then something started to happen. God got his hands dirty in the mess. God the potter was working in the family situation, and this little boy with autism, Josiah, again, the book is Josiah's Fire, began to get a fire from God. He began to get messages from God full of wisdom that not only changed Josiah, but it changed his whole family, changed his parents and people that would hear him. Now, he still has autism, but things have changed. And that's what I want to proclaim to you. Maybe you don't have an autistic child, but maybe you have a child with ADD, or maybe you have a child who's addicted, or a child who's fallen away from the faith. And I want you to know that you can hope, dare to hope, believe beyond all believing that God is at work in their situation, in your family, because God is intimately and intricately involved in our life. And he's involved in your children's life. He's involved in your family life. Maybe you got a struggling marriage. It doesn't seem like God's working. But I can tell you that behind the scenes, God is at work. Dare to hope. Don't give up on God and say, oh, it's always going to be the same. No, dare to hope. Believe that God's at work. It opens a door for God to work when you do that. So in a struggling marriage, it may not seem like it, but God is willing to get dirty right in the mess of your life. So hope opens a door for God to work. And no matter what situation you're dealing with, God is working in your life.
Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that we might be saved and have eternal life. The greatest and most influential event in human history was Jesus' resurrection. But the resurrection wasn't just one historical moment. A resurrected life can happen every day. In Father Cedric's book, rise. You can learn how to embrace the risen life, a life of passion, stability, and healing. Father Cedric's book, Rise, reveals how to live a fulfilled life, how to conquer addictions, how to overcome your past, and rise from indifference to make a difference. In this book, you'll learn how to experience resurrection today. Call right now to get this special offer. Call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to frcedric.org or write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. 100% of your donations will be used to produce and air Live with Passion.
If you have hope, if you have faith, remember they're close relatives. If you have hope and faith, you can say to this mountain, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. Can you imagine? Most people don't talk to their mountains, they talk about their mountains. Well, I have unemployment, I have money problems, I have marital struggles, I have an addiction, and they, you know, just yap about it, it's never going to get better, it's always going to be the same. They talk about their mountains. I love what Jesus said. This is what hope is. You talk to your mountains. I don't know if you ever heard the story about Mount Everest. You know, Mount Everest is over 29,000. It's the highest mountain in the world in the Himalayas. It's over 29,000 feet high. And Sir Edmund Hillary wanted to climb it. No one had ever conquered Everest. And he said, I'm going to be the first. So on his first attempt, he tried to do it, and he failed. Had to turn back. Harsh conditions. Really hard. And then on his second attempt, he tried to do it, and he failed again. Then on his third attempt, he tried to climb Mount Everest, and he failed again. Even though he failed three times, the Queen of England decided to have a knighting ceremony for him. And at the knighting ceremony, as he went in, he was about to be knighted. He went in, he saw a portrait of Everest on the wall, and this is what he talked to his mountain. You know what he said? He said, you've defeated me, but I'm going to return and defeat you. You can't get any bigger, but I can. And do you know that he went back to Everest? On his fourth attempt, he was the first person ever to conquer Everest, and he climbed Mount Everest, and the date was May 29th, 1953. And I'm telling you, don't talk about your mountains. Talk to your mountains. You can conquer them. And we all have mountains and adversities and hardships and difficulties and trials and problems. Here's what I've discovered, that your adversities can be to your advantage. Your obstacles can be opportunities. Your problems can lead to promotion. That's what happens in school. You have problems, then it leads to promotion. And your challenges, and I wrote a book about this, your challenges can make you a champion. Dare to hope. Mountains can be moved. Don't let the obstacles and the stuff of your life stop you. Dare to hope, because all things are possible for God. We serve a God who is majestic and almighty and great and worthy of all praise. I remember one time I went to a dinner, and it was in Detroit. We have retreat centers, Detroit, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Houston, New York, Florida, many different retreat centers around the country, we being the Passionists. I'm a religious priest, a Passionist. And one of our main ministries is having people come to us on retreat. Well, anyway, I'm at our Detroit Retreat Center. We had a big dinner there. And at the dinner, probably about 100 people, 50 lay people, 50 priests. I didn't know many of the lay people that were there. And I see a man sitting at a table that I didn't know. So just tried to be hospitable. So I walked over, shook his hand. I said, hey, I'm Father Cedric. Nice to meet you. And I was going to sit and talk with him. And as I shook his hand, he looked at me and he says, I know who you are. Well, I said, well, how do you know who I am? He said, well, a few years ago, Father Cedric, about 5 years ago, you came to our parish, our church in Louisville, Kentucky, and you preached a revival. You preached a parish mission. He said, at that time in my life, I was stuck spiritually, going through the motions, going to Mass, had a prayer life, but nothing was happening. God just seemed so distant. I wasn't really involved. I was kind of a Catholic that just went to church through obligation. But what you had to say at that mission about hope so inspired me to believe that God is at work in my life, that I could have a personal relationship with God. And I began to pray in a new way. And in time, I discovered a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I've changed. I don't just go to church once in a while. I'm involved in the church, and that's why I'm at this dinner here at your retreat center. And I said, whoa, what a beautiful witness. And what was that? That was God the potter working in his life. And that's exactly what hope is. That no matter what your issue, no matter what your difficulty, no matter what your problem, could be spiritual, could be an addiction, could be, as I said, a struggling marriage, could be unemployment, past abuse, anger, whatever it is, grieving, loneliness, depression, despair, doubt, whatever it is, you have to understand the greatness of our God, that he is intimately and intricately at work in your life. And that's what hope is, believing not only that God exists, but believing that God's at work in your life. And you don't have to stay stuck in your spiritual life. You don't have to stay stuck anywhere. Because I love what Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more than we can ever dare to ask, think, or imagine. Did you get that? Most people kind of pray puny prayers. But God is able to do far more than we can ever dare to ask, think, or imagine. And I'm discovering that in my own life. And I'm not going to limit God by my doubts. I'm going to dare to hope. I'm going to keep believing. Because our God is an amazing God. I love astronomy. I remember in college, I took a course on astronomy, and I'm fascinated by our solar system, by our planet, by the universe, by our galaxy. Of course, we have the solar system, then we have the Milky Way galaxy, then we have the universe. And as you know, years ago, they sent up NASA and the engineers sent up the Hubble telescope, and the vivid, clear images that occurred were just outstanding. So what scientists did is they wanted to take a picture just of some arbitrary place out in outer space to see what they could get. About the size of a straw, they just took a picture in some arbitrary direction, size of a straw, little teeny opening, and this is what they found when they took the picture. They found 1,000, not planets, not solar systems, galaxies in that little teeny itsy bitsy. Do you understand the Milky Way galaxy, our galaxy, 186,000 miles across, light years across, excuse me, not miles. It's actually 100,000 light years across. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And the time it takes for light to get across our galaxy is 100,000 years. That's just one galaxy. When they looked out there, they saw 1,000 galaxies. Do you see how huge that is? We sent up the Voyager spacecrafts 40 years ago, two of them. They're traveling at 38,000 miles an hour. Finally, they've left our solar system after 40 years, traveled about 12 billion miles in 40 years. To get to the closest star, traveling at 38,000 miles an hour, that's about as fast as we can go, it's going to take them 40,000 years to get to the closest star. So what I'm trying to depict to you is how large our universe is, and the universe is telling us about the greatness, the grandeur of our God. Not only the universe and its expanse and how big this is, 7.6 billion and growing daily people on the face of the earth. And God is intimately and intricately involved in everybody's life. So I'm trying to depict to you the power and the majesty and the grandeur of our God. That's why Jesus, when he taught, said, for God, all things are possible. And as I said, raise people from the dead, calm storms, brought healing to people, multiplied loaves, turned water into wine. Jesus tapped into that beautiful, wonderful power of God. And I want you to tap into that power of God. And you can by hoping, dare to hope. Hope is believing that something good is going to happen in your future. Hope is a living hope that we're going to live forever with God in heaven. But most of all, as I have proclaimed to you, hope is believing that God is working in your life right now and in your family. Behind the scenes, doesn't always feel like it, but God is focused on you and He's willing to get His hands dirty in your life. Dare to hope, because when you hope, it opens up a door for God to work. And don't just live, live with passion. Dare to hope. I want you to believe that God is at work in your life and in your family, as I said in the program. Got a letter from a woman, and listen to this. I credit Father Cedric's TV programs for sparking my faith, brought me back to Mass, and now I go daily. I took my young son to Mass with me daily, and now he's beginning his third year as a seminarian for the Diocese of Dallas. Well, that so blesses me. You know what that is? That's God working in that familial situation. God the potter, we the clay. And I can do this. I can reach out through television, and my motto is touching lives, saving souls. I can do this because I have a lot of partners praying for me and a lot of partners who are financially supporting me. I'm a priest with a vow of poverty. I have no other motivation than to reach out to people. 100% of your money will go directly toward the airing of Live with Passion and the production of Live with Passion. So would you consider being a partner with my ministry? Listen, my announcer will tell you more, but don't just live, live with passion.
Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pizania has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give, we are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to fathercedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that we might be saved and have eternal life. The greatest and most influential event in human history was Jesus' resurrection. But the resurrection wasn't just one historical moment. A resurrected life can happen every day. In Father Cedric's book, Rise, you can learn how to embrace the risen life, a life of passion, stability, and healing. Father Cedric's book, Rise, reveals how to live a fulfilled life, how to conquer addictions, how to overcome your past, and rise from indifference to make a difference. In this book, you'll learn how to experience resurrection today. Call right now to get this special offer. Call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to frcedric.org. Or write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. 100% of your donations will be used to produce and air Live with Passion.